today's Sedra we have the story about Yaakov Avinu fighting with the Malach. In the Parsha it doesn't really say it was a Malach, but in the Novi it says like that. And the Torah tells us that because of this, because of the fact that the Malach succeeded in breaking his leg, we're not permitted to eat Gidan Asher Ara Yom Hazeh. The Gemara divide, the Mishnayos divide all of the animals into three categories. You have Behema, Chayo, and Oaf. And some of the dinim only apply to one, and some of the dinim only apply to the other. Moshe, this din of Gidan Asher, the Mishnah says, only applies to Behema the Chayo, and doesn't apply to Oaf. And the Mishnah says in Perek Gidan Asher, there's a whole Perek in the end of Chulam, Perek Gidan Asher. The Mishnah says the reason why, because Mishnah ain't no kaf. And the Chulam says Gidan Asher only applies, Asher al kaf. Vayigal b'kaf Yerach Yaakov, how does it say? Asher al kaf ha-yorech. So you're not allowed to eat the Gidan Asher, Asher al kaf ha-yorech. So the Mishnah says that the Oaf doesn't have a kaf. So therefore there's no prohibition. Mar says, what do you mean it doesn't have a kaf? It does have a kaf. Mar says, no, it doesn't. It has a kaf, but it's not ogul. The eat the Gidan Asher only applies if the kid goes over the kaf, when one bone goes into the like you have a pulk of a chicken. So you have a skinny bone, then on top it gets round, like a mushroom. And then that sits into a socket of the other bone. So the oaf also has a bone like that, but it's not round on the top. It's not ogul. That's what the Gemara explains. Then the Gemara has a suffix, and he buys the lay of Shita. What would the din be if you have an oaf which had an abnormal development, and it does have a kaf ogul? Would the din of Gidan Asher apply? What if you have a behemoth of a chayah that had an abnormal development, and it has a kaf which is not ogul? Once in a while you have an abnormal growth. You have a behemoth of a chayah that's not ogul. Does it actually depend on each and every individual animal whether the kaf is ogul or not ogul? Because the Chumash is Asher al kaf ayorech. And the kaf only means a kaf which is ogul, when the bone on top is ogul. Or should I say no? It depends on the min. Since by behema of a chayo, usually it is ogul, and by oaf, usually it's not ogul. 95% of oifas are not ogul. 95% or more of behema of a chayo are ogul, so it depends on the min. It depends on the min behema of a chayo, and it depends on the min. So that's an ibayd alayf shita nigimon. You learn some more Gemara there in Perik, Gidan Asher, very long to shoot Perik. Gidan Asher, very cheerful Perik and full. He learns some more there, so it seems from the Gemara takes it for, here it's in a Bible of Shita. On another daf, the Gemara assumes with our Pashu that it depends on the min. It depends on the min of Behem of Echaya versus the min of Oaf. You have other dinim, Mashal, Kisui Hadam only applies to, Kisui Hadam only applies to Chaya of the Oaf and doesn't apply to Behem. Or, Chalev only applies to Behema, does not apply to Chaya, and does not apply to Oaf. Chalev Chaya is Mutter, Chalev Oaf is Mutter. Also there's Beno only applies to Behema, doesn't apply to Chaya V'yoy. The Gemara has a lot of dini that depend on Behema Chaya V'yoy. The Gemara says that the Isur of Gidan Asher only applies to the actual Gid itself. The Shuman Agid is that machlekes hatanayim? We darshan es hatafel b'sara. Lo yochel es b'sara es hatafel b'sara. So here it says, hakein lemech lo yochel min Yisrael es Gidan Asher. What is the word es? Marbe. So some tanayim in the Gemara say the word es is marbe. The shuman agid. Not only the gid itself is also, even the shuman agid is also us. And we paskin that that's not so. We paskin that the shuman agid is mutam in Torah. And it's only awesome with the Rabbanon. But the Lashon HaGemara is a little strange. The Gemara doesn't say that it's awesome with the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, it's mutav an atar b'Yisrael kidoshim no'agu bo iser. Very rare expression. I don't know if it appears anywhere else in Shas. The Brisa, the Lashon HaBrisa is Yisrael kidoshim, the holy Jewish people. The Jewish people are holy. No'agu bo iser. So the Prima Godim and others before him assume that the Prima Godim is on Yerideya and others on the Rambam. Assume that it's only Yosem Nitam Minig. Minig means that it's even less than an Issa de Rabbanon. You have an Issa de Raisa, you have an Issa de Rabbanon, then you have an Issa Nitam Minig. And it's interesting, in the Gemara there's a Machlokes HaTanaim whether Shuman Agid is Osir or not. So if it's the way we assume, the way the Prima Godim assumes that it's only Yosem Nitam Minig, so what's the Machlokes? Is there such a Minig? Is there not such a Minig? The Tana says that there is a Minig to Asir Shuman Agid. How come the other Tana says that it's Mutah? So the Pashtus and the Gemara, you see, that just like we have a klala, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Kein Deraisa Tikkun. When you make a Din Derabbanon, it has to be patterned after some Din Deraisa or another. So the same is true regarding a minig. You can't just have a minig to stand on your head every Thursday morning between 10:30 and a quarter to 11. If Thursday morning we learn Chumash instead of learning Gemara, and you want your blood circulation to be better, and so then you have a minig to prepare for the Shira Chumash or something, so you stand on your head, whatever. But stand a minig to stand on your head Thursday morning doesn't make any sense at all. So even if you have strictly observed this minig for the last 55 years, that's not binding. A minig is only binding if it's a psakein derais, they came derabbanon. It's a kiyum of something, stam, ceremony. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He used to say, our religion doesn't have any ceremonies. That's by the Christians. That's by the other religions they have. Our religion doesn't have ceremonies. Minhagim? No, that's a different thing. A minig is a kiyum of some kind. If you look in Yeridei, that's why he spent so much time explaining all the minhagim. In Yeridea you have a lot of minhagim also, not just in Arachayim, by Tzitzis and Tfilin and Baruch Shama and Krishna. You have minhagim in Yeridea. So in Yeridea the Vilna Gaon will up. In Ebenezer you have minhagim. So the Bir Agro will always explain what the minig is based on. It's not based on a Tzirah Vashit over here, and a Shat Tana, and a Rishon, and a Pesus, and a Giritza. You want to be Yoytze, this Shita, and that Shita, your Mitzarek Shita. We don't really pass like that. But it's in order, the Yeser says, in order to be Yoytze, some kind of a Shita that we don't hold from. Or it's an extension of a certain Din, the right, an extension of a Din, the Rabbon, some kind of a Kiyam. So the same is true in Arachayim also. All of the Minhagim are based on Kain, the right minig. Called the Tikkun Rabban, came the Raisa Tikkun. So all the Minhagim have to be Kain, the Raisa Kain, the Rabban have to be an extension of something or another. A minig that's unrelated to a Din, that's what the Achrayim call, that's what the Rishayim call, a minig Tots, a minig Shtus. A minig Shtus, just a minig in the middle of nowhere, just a minig to stand on your head for 15 minutes once a week, unless the doctor says very healthy. Okay, so you do it for health purposes. So the doctor says you can either run around the block 25 times in the week, or you can stand on your head for 15 minutes in the week, or you can drink schnapps every morning after breakfast, or you can, it gives you a choice of 25 things that's good for your health. And the minig is angefir that you stand on your head every Thursday morning between 10:30 and 4:00. Okay, so that's the minig. So that's for the purpose of the nishmarat and the other nafshe sechem. Then in addition to that, if you want to go jogging, you want to drink the schnapps and the orange juice and the vitamin pills also, you can do whatever you want. But the minig is that we do this for the sake of fulfillment of the din of the nishmarat and the other nafshe sechem. So that would also be a good minig. But a minig that's not based on any good din, the Nishke minig. So that seems to be the machleike satanoim here also. We assume that Shuman Agir is mutam and atayra, mutam and rabbanu. We saw Kedoshim Nogo Boisa, the Jewish people instituted minig not to eat it, and the Tanoim had a machleike, whether the minig is binding or not. So half of the Tanoim said that the Dvar B'Telem and Mubatom, it's a minig shtus. A minig shtus is meaningless, not binding. The others held no. They're just like you have Xer the Rabban, you're not allowed to do this or do that. You're not allowed to eat chicken with milk because of Basa B'chola. You're not allowed to have, basically, not allowed to carry in a Kamalus or do carrying in a Shusa Rab. So here also, this minig, the Chachamim never asked it, but this minig makes sense. The minig is to ask the Shuman Agid or to the Gid itself. That's how we pass the Shuman Agid is also mitam minig. Taisus has an interesting machlokes. Can the Shuman Agid be more chomer than the Gid itself? There is a machlokes atanayim. What happens if by mistake it's the responsibility of the butcher to remove the Gid anasha? That's in Yiddish, that's called trebring. To remove the chelev that you're not allowed to eat, and to remove the dam, to remove the... Not all the blood comes out when you salt it. If you have blood vessels, and there's blood in the blood vessels, so that blood is not going to come out. When you salt, the blood in the capillaries is going to come out, but not the blood in the vessel, in the arteries. The blood in the arteries is going to remain. Let's say you have the heart. The heart's full of blood. So you're going to put a little salt on the heart. It's not going to get the blood out. You have a bottle of blood. You have a bottle of blood there, you salt it, so there's going to be blood with salt in it. It's still going to be awesome. If you have meat that just has blood in the damayivarim, blood in the capillaries, so if you salt that, so the Gemara says, whatever blood will come out in the first 18 minutes is blood, and whatever remains after that, we declare as juice. It's the juice, it's also blood. They say, no, that doesn't have the yisra of blood, that's called juice of the meat, that's muta. So the Gemara says that the butcher has to remove certain arteries before he salts the meat. He has to remove the gidanashi, he has to remove the shumanagid, and he has to remove the chelev. What happens if the butcher didn't remove the gidanashi and he salted the whole piece of meat and then later on he removed the gidanashi? Should I say that since he salted, let's say if he doesn't salt the chelev, if he doesn't remove the chelev and he salts the flesh before removing the chelev, then even if he removes the chelev later, you're going to have a problem. Because the salting is going to cause the chalev to be nivla, it's going to give an asinas tam into the flesh. So just by the flavor of the shuman, the flavor of the chalev is not going to come out. Blood comes out by salting. But the bliya of chalev doesn't come out when you salt flesh. Adrav, when you salt a big yerech, if you have the whole thigh of the animal with the gidam nasha in it, and you salt it, so the salting will make the flesh treif, the flesh that's immediately surrounding the gidam, the chalev. The chalev will be nivla into the flesh. So what about the gidam nasha? Will the gidam nasha be nivla into the flesh or not? Why not? So the Tanoim had a big machlokes. Whether yesh begin b'nais and tam or ain begin b'nais and tam. What does it mean? Gidan Rosh apparently doesn't have that much of a flavor. Shvachatam. So when you cook Gidan Rosh with other meat, and you cook Gidan Rosh with vegetables, or you salt Gidan Rosh with the yerech, you didn't remove it and you salted it, so a little bit of flavor apparently does have, but it's not so edible, it doesn't give so much of a tam. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. To what extent, how far do you go when the halacha says that tam kiker? Not only are you not allowed to eat chazer, not only not allowed to eat nevela, you're not even allowed to eat the tam of the nevela, because that's a din of tam kiker. So how much of a tam, how serious of a tam does it have to be in order that it should ask? So we pass in halacha that ain't begidim nice and tam, that the faint, vague tam that comes from the giranosh is not enough to ask. The other tana holds, no, the yesh begidim nice and tam. Some of them both agree what the tam of giranosh is. It's a very shvach tam. So we pass in halacha that's not enough to declare that the din of tam kiker should apply. So again, so if you cook the yerech, you cook the thigh of the animal with the gidan ashi in it, you cooked it or you salted it, so the flavor of the gidan ashi will not ask the rest of the behemoth based on the principle of tam kiker. The gidan ashi is awesome. You have to remove it. But the tam doesn't ask the rest. So the Tosis has two opinions. What about the shuman agid? Shuman agid is real fatty stuff. It tastes good. It tastes like all the shuman in the animal. You're on a diet, or you're worried about cholesterol, so you don't eat it. But it's a tasty stuff, like any other fatty part of the animal. So the question is, shuman agid shurasa. Maybe I should say one opinion of Tosis is that since shuman agid is only asam itam minik otu the gid itself, and the gid itself does not asam in the sinas tam because ain't gid in the sinas tam. So maybe I should say that it doesn't make sense. Maybe that's already minik shtus. It doesn't make sense to aser to say that tam ki ikir of the shuman agid should aser, that it should be more common than the gid itself. Shuman agid is also meat or to gid, and gid anosh should be passing in the gid mirah. I said, Tom, so how can you say the shuman agid should aser the time right, that it should be more common than the gid? It's not a bad svara, but we don't pass like that halacha l'maisa. We pass like the other. 2 days in Tesis, how to read a Mishnah. How to read a Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say one way or the other. So we pass la halacha l'chumra. That it does aser. Shuman agid does aser. A couple of years ago, we had the Shaila in the OU office. Why? It was Nagel Halacha. Because at this, the OU wanted to have, I think, their Thanksgiving weekend, they wanted to use the same Kalim as some other group that was going to use right before them, and they were going to have to kasher everything. And the Shaila was the other group that was going to use it for Trafus. So they had to kasher everything the same day. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to kasher Kalim when they're Ben Yom. You have to wait till the Zayin Ben Yom. How can they wait? They were going to have a Thanksgiving morning, Thanksgiving dinner in the afternoon, and the OU was going to have their Thanksgiving night within 24 hours. So the suggestion was made that the other people should have kosher flesh. Let the other function use kosher flesh. What's so bad? They're not going to die just because kosher flesh. The only thing is that when you have big pieces of meat, so the Jewish butchers always chop everything up, it looks awful. They cut out the chalav and they cut out the giran ash and they cut out the dam and everything. So over here the shayla was, they'll have to cut out the chalav and the dam. What about the giran ash? Well, they have to cut out the giran ash. So the giran ash itself doesn't tasa. The tam of the giran ash doesn't tasa. We're not going to eat the leftover flesh that they're going to have. But the shayla was the shuman of the giras. That's how we pass in our law. The shuman of the gid does us. Even though it's not a dead svara, but we pass on our law that it does us. There is a din in carbon pesach that you're supposed to broil the carbon pesach. You're not supposed to slice the carbon pesach before you broil it. You're supposed to do a rosh al-krov al-kirbay. The Rambam writes the whole behema b'shleimusa. So the Ravid is masik on the Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach. He says, what are you talking about? How can you do it all together? You have to remove the Gid Anasha and you have to remove the Shemun Agid. Otherwise it's going to ask it. The Gid Anasha doesn't ask for the Korban Pesach, but you're not allowed to eat it. And the Shemun Agid will ask for the Korban Pesach. So the Kesem Mishnah says on the side of the Rambam there, you broil the Korban Pesach, Sholem, Rosh Al Krov Al Kirbi, you broil the Sholem. You're not supposed to slice it and then broil it. So you broil the Sholem. Either Gid Anasha is awesome. So afterwards, after you do the broiling, then when you're about to serve it, then you'll slice it, you cut it up, and you remove the Gid Anasha later. Normally, you should always remove the Gid Anasha before you do the broiling, but by Korban Pesach, the Rambam quotes from the Chumash. That it's a special thing, you're supposed to broil it together. See, leaving the Gid Anasha, it's not going to answer anyway. What's with the Shemun Agid? The Rambam seems to hold also about Lava like that opinion in cases that, like the Shulchan Aruch Paskens, that the Shemun Agid does answer. So the Kesef Mishnah comes up with an Einfall that since Shemun Agid is only Yasa Mitam Minig, Yisrael Kedoshim Nogabom Iser, so the Mokum Korban Pesach, the Mokum Mitzvah is Korban Pesach, you don't have to observe that Minig. Whenever a minig is in conflict with a din, so you observe the din and you forego on the minig.
What about the
chelov? Now the chelov, you have no choice. The chelov, you makriv on the mizbech. That you don't. Any chelov that we're not allowed to eat is burned on the mizbech. So that you have to cut out and burn on the mizbech. But what's left behind, that you don't burn on the mizbech, that you're supposed to broil all together. So the Gid Anasha doesn't bother us because the Taka doesn't ask it. So when you're about to serve it to all the Bnei HaChabura, so then you're going to slice it, you're going to cut it up in pieces, so then you remove the Gid Anasha. But what's going to be with the Shemun Agid? The Shemun Agid is going to ask for everything, it'll all be trade. I'll have a bliya from Shemun Agid. So the Kes Mishnah says on the Rambam, Shemun Agid is only a minute like that Prima Gordon says. Kes Mishnah said it before him. Shemun Agid, the Prima Gordon quotes the Kes Mishnah. Shemun Agid is only the Gemara's Loshon, it's all Kadosh and Dogabo, he said it's only a minute. But since it's only a minute, and here it's in contradiction with the Iker Mitzvah of Tzlias Korban Pesach. It's supposed to broil it together. So we choose to fulfill the mitzvah and ignore the minig. This Kesef Mishnah was sort of discovered. Kesef Mishnah is on a Rambam. The Rambam, right? The Kesef Mishnah, everybody knows that. This Kesef Mishnah, Rav Gusman, made a big fuss about this in his Sefer on Kiddushin. He has a Shaila, Halacha L'maaseh, what's the din? There is halacha that a woman always has to wait Shiva Nikiyim. If a woman is a Zorba, she has to wait Shiva Nikiyim before she goes to the mikvah. But most of the women are not Zorbas, most of the women are Nidus. So the Gemara says that we have a minig. We have a minig that the women always require Shiva Nikiyim. Even though Mikra Din, most of the time she's only going to be a Nidus, she's not going to be a Zorba. That's the minig. So in Yerideya, there's a machloikas. The Ramban and the Ravid, Halacha L'maaseh, Hilchos Nidah, the Loshon of Rav Zera, Bnei Yisrael Hachmiru Al Atzman. Sounds like it started off as a minig. That's the way it remains. It's a minig. The whole tokef, the whole strength of the din is only a minig. That the women always need shevinikim. It doesn't mean that it originated as a minig, but in later generations, the Tanoim approved of the minig, and when they gave it their stamp of approval, so they converted it into a din de Rabban. That's a Rashi Menachos like that. Rashi Menachos writes like that. So in Yeriday, they didn't have that Rashi Menachos. We have, there's only the Shas printed two Rashis on Menachos. One on top of the page, one on the bottom of the page. Two different manuscripts. We have that Rashi Menachos on the bottom of the page in the only Shas. Before then, they didn't have it. So in Yeriday, they quote, the Mishnah Melech quotes, this Machlokes, the Ramban and the Ravid, whether the requirement for Shiva Nikiyim by all the women is only a minig, it's only a pchin of a minig, or this man has it, it's more than a minig, it's already a din de rabban, it's mocham. So in Yeridah we pass him, it's only a minig. There's an afkamin, if it's clear by some, we pass him, Allah, it's only a minig. So Rav Gutman has in the end of his Sefer, Tulpulim on Kiddushin, he has sort of a biru halacha l'maisa. So he quotes this Kesef Mishnah that whenever one has a conflict between the observance of a minig and a real din, so then the din takes precedence over the minig. So he says over here also, what if the doctors can ascertain that a woman is married and the reason why she's unable to have children is because she always waits Shiva Nikiyim. If she would be able to be tovel in the mikveh earlier, then she would probably be able to conceive. So would you allow the woman, and he can't change anything, he can't budge. Sometimes he can take pills and change the cycle, sometimes he can't. So what if the doctors ascertain that that's exactly the problem? Would you allow the woman to violate the minig that we assume is only a minig of always requiring shivinikim? Sometimes shivinikim is a din d'oraisa, that for sure you're not matter. Sometimes shivinikim is a din d'rabbanan, the Gemara has. Sometimes Rebbe made a takana, hiskin Rebbe besodis. The Gemara in the end of Nida, daf samach vav and al, of course, that Rebbe made a takana that sometimes we treat the women as toos and sometimes they require a shivinikim. So that's often a takana d'rabbanan. Once in a while, it's not even a takana de rabbanon, and it's only b'nai sisrael of nirav atzmon, which is a machlekes, and we pass it's only a minig. So Rav Gusman says, in those rare instances, and in those some of the cases where it's only a minig, and it comes in conflict with their fulfillment of the mitzvah piriviriv, the woman just can't conceive. So then he thinks, based on this case of Mishnah, because the Mishnah Hilchos Kor Pesach that allows the woman to violate the minig in order to fulfill the mitzvah. The end of the Sefer HaKiddushin. Everybody knows that. The rest of the Sefer HaKiddushin people don't know. As it has.
Huh?
A question whether women are mechuyev in the mitzvah of Shevis or not. Women are not mechuyev in Pirei Rivya, they're mechuyev in the mitzvah of Shevis. But look, the man is married to this woman. So,
is that?
Right. Right. So we assume that they're both permitted to. He assumes they're both permitted to violate the minig in order to enable the husband to fulfill his mitzvah. Then it's it. Interprets Agmar in his Shuvis, Meshav Davi, interprets Agmar in the beginning of brachas like that. Agmar has a lashon haragalava the Beis Haknesses that the man is in the practice of coming to the minyan every day, at least to the 7 o'clock minyan, and then one day he doesn't show up. So the Gemara has a pasuk. And Navi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoyl all of that. Baruch Shalom asks, where is he? What do you mean Baruch Shalom is asking? I mean, since he's in the habit of davening Tefillah B'Tzibur, many poskim say that Tefillah B'Tzibur is not really a chayva. You're not really mechuyev to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur. It's just, if you want your prayers to be answered, Tefillah is a chayva. But if you want your prayers to be answered, so you stand a better chance of having them answered if you daven Tefillah B'Tzibur than if you daven Tefillah B'Yachad. What happens? So it's not a chayva. But if a person taka always davens in a minyan, then it becomes a minik. It's binding become minik. So that's what the Gemara says. Harogil, so a person is rogil to daven tefillah b'tzibur all the time. So then, if one day he's going to miss, the Rabbanu Shalom will be makbir on him because a minik is a minik becomes binding. But the Gemara says, but what happens if he had to violate tefillah b'tzibur? He had a daven yichidus because he went with bar mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, oh, then it's okay. So why is that? What the bar mitzvah is okay? So he says, that's what it means. When a mitzvah comes in conflict with a minik. That harogil is palav makes it into a minik toiv. Minik toiv is not a real chiyuv. So if it's in conflict with the bar mitzvah, so then he's not obligated to observe the minik. The Gemara has the machlekes we just mentioned. Machlekes atanoim, if the giranosh was cooked together with the yerek, or the giranosh salted the yerek with the giranosh in it. So melicha usually causes a tam to flow from the treifas to the kosher. Or bishul will normally cause a tam to extend from the treifa food to the kosher food. What's over here? Would you say that yesh begid the menaisen tam or ain't begid the menaisen tam? So we pass an ain't begid. Not enough tam that it should ask. What if it's not a question of the tam? What if I can't identify which is the gid anosha? Let's say I have a whole bunch of gidin. Somebody removed, the butcher removed the gidin anosha, then removed the other gidin that are mutter. There are gidin that are mutter in the body, they're shasar gidin. There are amache ibram, there are shasar gidin. One of the gidin is the gidin anosha. So let's say in a human body there are shasar gidin. Behema, I don't know, maybe they're more, maybe they're less. But let's say you have 20 gidin. One of them I know is the gidin anosha, and the other 19 are not gidin anosha. The other 19 are mutter. Should I say that it should be bottled beroy, chad betray? Yavish b'yavish, chad betray should be bottled beroy. Why not? So the Mishnah says in Chulin that it's not bottled beroy. The Gemara asks, why not? Will he bottle beruba? For what good reason is it not bottled beroy? So the Gemara says, on that kuf amin ala, because it's a barrier. Giran Asher is a barrier. And there's a chumrim with the Rabbanan that a barrier is not bottled. That's the top Gemara, the top line on kuf amin ala, and the top thesis. That barrier shining. Whenever something is a barrier, it's not bottled. The din of barrier we had in Shavuos, but again to another din, you only chayv malchus on macholos asuris if yid kazayis. But if the thing that yid is a barrier, then you chayv malchus even less than a kazayis. Let's say a bug. Let's say you have, they sell in the store crushed bugs, crushed ants. So if you eat a kazayis of the crushed ants, then you get malchus. But if you eat a full ant, a full bug that has less than a gazayis, but it's bishlei musa, it's a davar shalom, a full cockroach. So the Gemara says if you eat it bishlei musa, then you're like even though it has less than a gazayis, but it's all crushed. So then you only like it if it has a gazayis. So the Gemara has the same by gidanosha. It says, let's say you have an animal that has a big fat gidanosha. How much of the gidanosha do you have to eat in order to get malt? Gemara says, eat a gazayis mimenu, you like it. Let's say you can cut it into three pieces. Give a kezayis to each of three people, and each one of us will get malchus. Each one ate a kezayis of the gidanosha. What if you have a skinny little animal that the gidanosha is so tiny? The whole gidanosha is less than a kezayis. So the Gemara says, if you eat the whole gidanosha, bishlei muso, so then you'll also be like it. You can either eat it, the davar shalom, and it'll be called a beria, or if it's chopped up, or if it's crushed. If you eat a kezayis of it, then you'll also be like it. The same is by the bugs. If you eat crushed bugs or kezayis, you like it. If you eat a davar shalom, you're also like, that's the din. So the din of beria applies both. Number one, a beria, if it's a davar shalom, you don't need a kezayis. And number two, a beria has a hashivas and it's not bavel. What if the gidanasha is crushed up? What if it's crushed up? So then it no longer has the status of a beria. It's only considered a beria when it's bishlei musa. The Gemara's lashon in the end of Makkos is, if it's a beria by the bug, if it's chai. If it's mace not, the place is commented on that Gemara. Chai does mean that the bug is alive as opposed to a dead bug. Chai means that it's a davar shalom as opposed to being crushed. So the same over here. If you have a gidanasha, which is a davar shalom, it was not crushed, and it's not going to be bottled even in 100 other, even a filo be'eruv like bottle. Places points out. Very hashiva, but like the filo be'eruv. But if the gidanasha, let's say, is crushed, so then it will be bottled. So how much do you need to be mevatel it? If I cooked the yerech with the gidanasha, if I salted the yerech with the gidanasha, so I say, in the gidanasha time, it doesn't give in the sinas time. So let the butcher come now, or let the balabasta come now, and remove the gidanasha, so she knows this is it, this is aser, and the rest of the flesh will be mutter. But let's say the gidanasha was crushed, I made chopped meat, and the gidanasha gets mixed in. So you can't say, what does it help to say, in the gidanasha time, it's not nice and time, but the end of the gidanasha is still there. So how much do you need, and it's not a beria because it's not bishlei musa, so how much do you need to be mevatelet? How much do you need to be mevatle? That's called lach palach. That's not yavish biyavish. That's not yavish biyavish. It's I have three gidden. One is treif and two are kosher. So the din should have been that it should be bottle beroy chad betrei. Yavish biyavish bottle chad betrei beroy. And it's not so because it's a barrier. So I feel a barrier like bottle. What if it's all crushed together? So then I'll be pashtus. So the din should require shishim. Like any other lach palach, you should need shishim. So there's one chuvas hagoinim. That nobody paskins like halacha l'maisa, it's just a collector's item. And in Encyclopedia Talmudit on the Gidanosha, they quote that there is a Chuvas Hagoyim that was printed in this century that says that you need Masayim. Mapito Masayim? Where did it come from? Mamash from thin air. Where did Masayim come from? So in the footnotes in Encyclopedia Talmudit, the one who wrote that Erech gives his suggestion. Why? Interesting. Where does Masayim come from? So he says there is a machleikus satanayim and psachim in the Fulman, of course, Gidanosha, but the Gidanosha is also bano or mutabano. So we paskin mutabano. The Raman paskin is mutabano. But Reb Shimon, Bar Yochai, Reb Shimon in the Mishnah holds that Gidanosha is also bano. The Beit Yosef says it's nochen lochish lahachmer to shitas Reb Shimon because the Zohar also says that it's also bano. Should be machmer for the Zohar. So the Bach has the hasog against the Beit Yosef. The Zohar was written by Reb Shimon. What did he discover on Reb Shimon? That's Reb Shimon in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon in the Zohar. Makes it more. The same one opinion, Reb Shimon, he was outvoted in the Gemara, so his opinion in the Zohar is also outvoted. This is Shver Rambam. The Rambam should have passed him that it should have been also Banu, but the Rambam passed him as Mutabanu. So the Ramban has a Chuvah to Ramban, because Mishnah quotes, there's a Chuvah to Ramban about the Shver Rambam. So because the Rambam should have passed him that it's also Banu, so that's why the Beis Yosef says he should be Machim, whatever. But we pass him Mutabanu. We pass him Mutabanu. What's the difference by the Gidanosha, Mutabano, Osabano? The Mishnah has a difference. Let's say I shecht a big animal, and I have a big yerech, I have a big thigh of the animal that has the Gidanosha in it. And I want to give it to a goy, I want to sell it to the goy. So if I'm going to butcher the thing up and remove the Gidanosha, it's not going to cost more money. I'm not going to charge the goy more money because it has the Gidanosha in it. The goy is also going to throw the Gidanosha out. So when I charge money for a big piece of meat, I'm not making more if it has. I'm going to sell it to a goy with the gidanosha. So I'm not going to make more money because of the fact that it has the gidanosha. The goy is also going to throw it out. But I'm going to make more money because of the fact that it's a yerach shalom. Because the goy wants to broil the whole thigh altogether. It doesn't want to have a butchered up half of an animal. So that's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. Am I permitted to sell a yerech sholem to the guy because he's going to pay me more money, not because it has gin hanashe, but because it's a davar sholem? That's considered getting hanah from the gin hanashe. So we talked in Mutar, shaleach adam yerech hanachri, that there's no iser of hanah. And Reb Shimon holds that it's also hanah, you're not allowed to get hanah. That's the machlokes hatanaim. So there is a din in the Gemara, Mishnayis, that although in our Torah, truma is the same as anything else, but with the Rabbanon we require meya in order for truma to be bottle. And the Gemara has a hold in Sifrei, has a hold of Smach and a Pasuk, and at the end of Parshas Korach, if Parimchem is Migdusho Mimenum, Nachum Lesochem Mekatsho, if the truma falls back in, it'll last of everything Bachila, because you have the Maisa and our Maisa falls back in, it'll last her because you only have 99 units to one. But if you would have had 100 units to one, then it would have been Mutter, it would have been Mutter, it would have been Bakal Bineya. And then the Sifrei says, Truma is only also Bachila, Mutter Bano, but Orlok Lekam, which is also both Bachila and Bano, and the Achasha Kofali Suro, since it has a double prohibition, so Kofal Bituloi. Since it's twice as Chomer as Truma, Truma is only also Bachila, Mutter Bano, Orlok Lekam is also Bachila Bano. So that's why kafal aliyosta. You need a kafal. You need a sheer kafal, a double sheer. You need masai. So that's what the one who wrote, I don't know who, the one who wrote this section, and it's like a big talmidit on the Gira Nosha, suggests in the footnote such an item. Maybe these chuvus agarim holes, like the Beis Yosei, like those tanoim, the Gira Nosha is also bano. If it's also bano, so then he holds, like the din in the Mishnah, that orlan kla karim. Since it's also banah, so you need masayim to be mevatel. If not bottled b'shishim, it's bottled b'masayim. There is such an opinion in Rishonim regarding chametz. We pass in chametz in the mashal. But this is because there was another gears in the Gemara in Pesachim Daflam and Amaralev. Rabbi Natan and the Shilpas, the chametz is not mashal. Chametz is the same as everything else. Same as everything else means what? Shishim? It should be bottled b'shishim. So the Ra'or in the Sefer Berek Abayis writes, no, the chametz is not the mashal, but it's b'masayim. Chametz b'masayim? Where does masayim come in? So the answer is, that's why. It's the same as Arvan Kleakem. That whatever is asa ba'anah, I should say the cheshvan from Truma. Truma is only asa ba'achila and muta ba'anah. You need meyah. So whatever is asa ba'anah, it's kofal isura, kofal aliyos. You need a double shiur to be mevatel. Anyway, we don't pass them like that. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass them like that. Number one, that Gira Nosha is Muta Bano. So the Mela, the whole thing is not Muta Bano, so you need a Shishin. No, but nobody passed in Shulchan Aruch, you need Masan. But there is such an opinion. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Perek Gira Nosha has a bit of an essay. Usually the Rambam has brief comments in the Pirush HaMishnayos, and here he has a long essay. He says that the fact that we today observe mitzvahs is because the mitzvahs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. That's the last pasuk in Chumash Vayikra and the last pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, quoted by the Gemara, the first daf in the Gilad. The Gemara says, "Ela haMitzvos Asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe b'Har Sinai." The last pasuk in Vayikra, the last pasuk in Bamidbar reads approximately the same. So the Maharsho is not sure which pasuk the Gemara is quoting. One of those two pasukim, either pasuk, will do the trick. So the more comments on that pasuk, Eilam mitzvahs mikan, from this pasuk we derive, she'ein novi rasha v'chadish dova miyata. A novi can only tell a hayru asho. A novi cannot give a mitzvah which is nehegas l'daris. The mitzvahs that are nehegas l'daris were only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam stresses this in his essay in Perek Gira Nosha, in the commentary to Mishnayos. He says that the fact that some of us participated in the Bris Milah this morning, the fact that we continue to observe Bris Milah today is not because the tzibui was given to Avraham Avinu, and the fact that we still continue to observe the din of Gira Nosha today is not because the mitzvah was given to Yankov Avinu, but rather because it was repeated again to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. And that's why it has the status of a mitzvah. Eila mitzvah asher tziva Hashem es Moshe b'Har Sinai. Avraham Avinu and Yankov Avinu were also just Nevi'im. Just like the Nevi'im after Moshe Rabbeinu, they were Nevi'im before and after Moshe Rabbeinu. None Novi was ever given a mitzvah in the sense of Noheges L'Doris. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Novi, that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevi'im. The Rambam has in the Yud Gimel Ikorei Emunah two different Ikorim. One Ikor, one Yisoid and Emunah, we believe in Nevuah, that God can communicate to people, and He does communicate to people on occasion. And another Yisoid and Emunah is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanavim. What's so significant about Moshe Rabbeinu being the Adon Hanavim? So it doesn't mean that if another prophet will come to contradict something that Moshe Rabbeinu said, so we will not listen to the other prophet. Yoshki came and he said that all the dinim in the Torah are negated. A prophecy that is not knowing anymore. Muhammad claimed to be a prophet, whatever he says, that the laws of the Torah no longer apply. That's what the Rambam means to say. Yeah. That, but more also, and the Rambam spells it out in his commentary in Perikin Anasha to the Pirush HaMishnah. He says what that principle means, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNaviim. What it means is that mitzvahs were only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. No other Navi, not before Moshe Rabbeinu, not after, was given a mitzvah. Mitzvah means a din which is noig l'doros. They were given Hayrasha, a divine Nevuah, but they were never given Torah mitzvahs. That's how Rav Soloveitchik answered the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. There is a din in the Chumash, and it's quoted by the Mishnah in the end of Sanhedrin, that Ha'oiral Divin Novi is Chai Misa B'dei Shammai. Let's say Novi comes and he tells me, I should invest all of my money today in the Long Island Railroad. Does that help? Is that open for investment? I should invest in whatever, Pepsi Cola. Tells me I should invest in a certain stock. He had been a vua from the Rebbeinu Shlom that I should do that. I tell him to go fly kite. That's a very bad advice. And he says, it doesn't matter. Bad or good. That's the nevua. You got to do it. So if I don't listen to the Navi, even if the Navi tells me to do an Aveira, the Navi tells me, beat me up. So I say, how can I beat me up? He says, he got the nevua that I should beat him up. The Pasuk in Navi. So the Navi didn't want to beat up the other one, so he was Chai Misim De Shammai. He was told that he has to do whatever the Navi tells you, you have to do, even if it happens to be an Aveira. So the Minchas Chinuch has bothered with Akasha, knew Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Navi. So Moshe Rabbeinu told us, we should put on tefillin every day, we should say Kriya Shema every day, we should eat matzah and maror, and perform all the mitzvahs atar, and listen to Tekiyah Shev. So whoever doesn't do any one of the Taryag mitzvahs is Chai Misa B'dei Shammai. So what do you need a small list of the 10 people of Chai Misa B'dei Shammai? Anyone who violates any din deraisa is Misa B'dei Shammai. All the din of deraisa were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Unless it's a din deraisa that the Chachanim and the later generations were machadish based on the Midrash Atar and the Dreshes Pen. But we have din of deraisa that we know for sure were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. No, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. So anyone who violates any din deraisa that was clearly given to Moshe Rabbeinu should be Oival Divrei Navi. That's the Minhas Chinos Kasha. Obviously it's not correct. The different terutzim were suggested on this Kasha. And the popular teretz today is the teretz that Rav Soloveitchik said. Years ago they wrote different terutzim, and now the last 30 years everybody says this teretz. That Oival Divrei Navi means if you violate a sivui, that's only the teretz nevuah. What Moshe Rabbeinu said, it depends. What Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, they should take these as mitzrayim, they should knock on the next door neighbor's doors, and they should ask for matonas. So whoever doesn't ask a business mitzrayim is takachayim isim de shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them that they should eat the morning and they shouldn't leave over for next morning. They're going to leave over takachayim isim de shamayim. That's only how he was sure. He wasn't told that that's a din l'doros. But all the dinim that he was told after, like tefillin, you have to sit in sukkah, you have to eat matzah, you have to eat more. All the dinim that arise, you have to bring a korban pesach. That's a higher level than nevuah. That's not called Oival Divrei Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNaviim. So sometimes he said nevuah, plain old nevuah, like the other Naviim. Sometimes he said a nevuah that was elevated to a higher level, a level of Torah, a level of mitzvah, that it's noig l'doros. So that's not included in the din of Oival Divrei Navi. That's not the answer that Minhas Chinuch gives. Minhas Chinuch gives a different answer, and the Rav Chava gives a different answer. There's several different answers. But Rav Soloveitchik thought that this was the real correct answer. Yaakov Avinu was in Golus for so many years. And then when it's time to return back to Eretz Yisrael, so he sends a message to his brother Esau in Eretz Seir. What is he afraid of? Esau is in Eretz Seir, so what is he afraid of? He's gone to Eretz Yisrael. Let his brother stay in Eretz Seir. So the Pashup shot seems to be that he knew that Esav was hanging around Eretz Yisrael also. When you send a letter to a person, so sometimes, let's say the guy's on vacation, I know he's in a certain place. I know if I'll send a letter to his home, they'll forward it to him, and if I know if I'll send it to his resort place where he's on vacation, he'll also get it. So sometimes you have to send a letter, sometimes formality requires that you have to send a letter to his home. If it's not a formal letter, so you send it to his vacation address. But if it's something formal, let's say people all over the world wanted to send letters of condolence to Mrs. Rabin. So they sent it to the government office instead of sending it to her private home. A lot of people sent it to the government office, even though they could find out what her private address is. But they thought that's more formal. So here also, Yaakov Avinu wants his brother to know that you don't belong in Eretz Yisrael. So even though Esav may have been in Eretz Yisrael, he sends the gift with the message and everything all addressed to Eretz Seir, to hint to him that you don't belong in Eretz Yisrael. And he tells him, look, there was a deal on Eretz Yisrael that the one who marries a Jewish girl, the one who keeps the Taryag Mitzvahs, gets Eretz Yisrael. You marry Chixis. I went all the way in Lavan Garti. My parents sent me all the way to Lavan to marry a Jewish girl, to marry a girl from the family. So I married the girl from the family, and he says, in Lavan Garti, I kept the Taryag Mitzvah Shamati. I kept the Taryag Mitzvah. So I'm entitled to Eretz Yisrael, and not you. That's how the Ramban interprets on the Pasuk. That he really could have sent, he really could have addressed the message to Esav's address in Eretz Yisrael. He had a home in Eretz Yisrael. He had two homes. But he wanted this, he addressed the gift with the whole, everything to the address in Eretz Edom to put him in his proper place, to let him know that I'm coming back to Eretz Yisrael and I'm the rightful owner of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, we all have the right to Eretz Yisrael if it's Taryag Mitzvah Shamayti. If the Jewish people don't observe the mitzvahs, so we're not entitled to Eretz Yisrael. That was the condition. If we're going to marry Shiksis, if we intermarry, we don't keep Bris Mila, we don't keep the mitzvahs atar, then we're not entitled to Eretz Yisrael. The Prima Gadim in the Sefer HaChumash says, how could he possibly keep all the Taryag mitzvahs? There are mitzvahs atlis baritz. He wasn't living in Eretz Yisrael. How could he keep it aviyeh? How could he keep Yishev Eretz Yisrael? Mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So he's from a third character, that's an Ishkan mitzvah. Okay, he didn't believe in the mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. But what about the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyeh? They don't believe in that either. What about the mitzvah of Trumas, Maaseh, Shemitah, V'yayah? He was living in Chutz La'aretz the whole time, for so long. How can he brag that he fulfilled all the Taryag mitzvah? He says, I'm the one, I married the Jewish girl, and I kept the mitzvahs, and therefore I'm entitled to Eretz Yisrael, and your address is in Eretz Seir. How can he say he kept the Taryag mitzvah? You should say, I kept some of the mitzvahs, but you can't say, I kept all the mitzvahs. So the Prima Gadim in the Sefer HaChumash, the Tevez Gaima, suggests that in later generations it's a little easier because we say, Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh. There is some, let's say, the Kohanim, so they duchen once in a while. So even though we don't duchen, so based on Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh, it's considered as if we duchen. Let's say so we learn the Kohanim, some of the Kohanim don't learn. So the fact that we're learning, tells us to the Kohanim, it's considered that they learn. Or let's say everybody does some mitzvah or another, so the whole Kol Yisrael together is in fulfillment of all of the Taryag mitzvahs. Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh. It's considered as if you all did. So the Prima Gadim asks, that would have been good in later generations when there are Jews all over the world. So some Jews are keeping Kibbut Aviyeh, some Jews are keeping Torah, some Jews are keeping Shabbos, some Jews are keeping Kashrus. So all together, we put everybody together, we're keeping Taryag mitzvahs. But over here, this was the whole Kol Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was in Chutz La'aretz, so there was nobody else there fulfilling any mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. That's what he is. But Yitzchok Avinu. So he asked, how could he state that he's in fulfillment of all of the Taryag mitzvahs? So he suggests that just like the Gemara says in the end of Zvachim, that whoever learns the dinim of Korbanos is considered as if he offered the Korbanos, Meshalma Farms Farsenus. So he claims that the same applies with respect to all of the Taryag mitzvahs. Whenever there's a mitzvah that one is not in a position to fulfill, he's onus. So if he learns the dinim, he did the maximum he can possibly do regarding that mitzvah. So ma'alal v'kasa kilu, he has fulfilled that mitzvah. This is a big machloikis achrayim, whether this is correct or not. The Chafetz Chaim, in the introduction to the Sefer on Kachin, introduction to the Asifas Kainim, says, based on Rishonim, that it's only by korbanos. That concept of an Shalom of Farms is saying it does not apply to any other mitzvah. But several of the Achranim do say like the Prima Gadim. Several Achranim who preceded the Prima Gadim say like that. That it applies to all the other mitzvahs as well. So he claims that that's what Yaakov Avinu was saying, Lovan Garti. In Lovan Garti, Vitalik Mitzvah Shamarti, whatever mitzvahs he could keep, he did, and whatever he was unable to observe, so he, at least he learned the dinim, and that's considered a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah. Pasuk says he was very worried. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the Torah Nimah quotes Sagemarim, Rachas Davdal. What was he afraid of? The Rebbeinu Shlomo had promised him. He didn't have to eat milch, shmatich b'chol asher teilev. Why was he afraid? So the Gemara says Shema Yigrom Hachet. So Rashi quotes on Pasuk Yiralov. Kotonti mikol hasodim. He's afraid. Shema misha hiftach tani, after you promised me, hinech yitoch imach, shema nislach lachti b'chet. Now she quotes that in the Medrash and the Gemara, the Tartim goes from the Gemara. Shema yigram hachet. So the Tartim on the bottom of the page quotes that the Rebellion Mizrahi asks Akasha, there is a Gemara Shabbos daf nun hei. The Gemara says that if a Novi is told in a vua l'ra, so that can be overturned. The vula ra means if the people will not do tshuva. If the people do tshuva, so the punishment will not come. But in the vula taiva, will always be fulfilled. Even if the people, let's say there's a promise in the taiva, because the person was such a tzaddik, and then after he gets the promise, then he becomes a rasha. So the Gemara says, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is still going to fulfill the promise. So how come, that's what the Rebellion Mizrahi asks on this parasha is Vayishlach, why is Yaakov Avinu so... So he says he's Tarech Liyashev Esoinyim. The Rebbeinu Mizrahi has a hard time answering it, and the Tarech Mimo also has a discussion. Shverin, he has a very difficult answer. He says it's not so. Tarech Mimo has a very strange comment. Has a lot of strange comments. He says not so. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan has an answer on this discussion in his Sefer, the Stuff and Shivus Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan. Once a year, we've got to say something for this month. This year, I think, is the 100th, it's going to be the 100th Yortzeit. He died in. That's almost 100 years that he's not here. So he has in the introduction to his tshuvas, Ein Yitzchak, introduction to the second chelik on the first page of the Hakdamah, he talks about this kasha. He said, in a half a paragraph, he thinks that it's not a kasha at all. He says, based on the Rambam in Hilchas Yisoidei HaTorah, when the Rambam talks about the Nevuah, there was Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ikori Huamun and Yisrael HaTorah. So the Rambam says, in Nevuah L'Toivah HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never reverse. Why? Because otherwise the people will think that the man is a Novi HaSheker. How can you ever test the person to tell if he's a Novi HaSheker or Novi Emes? So first the person has to establish himself as a Novi by demonstrating Osa Samovs. And then once he demonstrates Osa Samovs and he has the status of a Novi Muchzok, then a Novi Muchzok doesn't have to prove each time with another Osa Samovs. Then he tells me to buy stocks in PepsiCo. You have to listen to him even if he doesn't demonstrate any osus samofsin now. But what happens if later on we discover that the man was a Novi HaSheker? Then he's chayim. He says, how can you ever discover that he was a Novi HaSheker? The Novi can. So the Pasuk says, the Novi predicts that something is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. So the question is, that maybe the Rebbeinu Shlomo changes his mind. You see, the Rebbeinu Shlomo changes his mind. He gives a Nevuah L'Ra'ah that in another 40 days, the city of Nineveh is going to be destroyed, and it wasn't destroyed. So just like over there, he changed his mind. So in the Vuala Taiva, also the Rebbeinu Shlomo can change his mind. So that's what the Rambam explains when he quotes this from the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to change his mind on the Vuala Taiva. In the Vuala Ra, he may sometimes change his mind. If the people do tshuva, he won't punish them. The Vuala Taiva is not going to change his mind. Otherwise, how can you ever test? How can you ever tell whether the man is a Novi Sheker or a Novi Emes? Whatever he says, he can say later on. The Novi will farem for himself later on and said that was only Allah. Tonight, the Tzai was not fulfilled to the Mele, and the Nebu was not fulfilled. So Nebu is meaningless then. So Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan says, the only time we have this klal in the Gemara, in the Rambam, the Nebu L'Toivah, will never be reversed, that's only when the Nebu was delivered l'Acherim. Another gets a Nebu and he tells it to me. He tells me I should buy Pepsi-Cola and the stock is going to go up in the next month. I'll buy Pepsi-Cola and the stock goes down. They go out of business in the next month. Like, see, he's a Novi HaSheker. He delivered a Nevuah to me. But what if the Novi gets a Nevuah from the Rebbeinu Shlomo directly? You buy Pepsi-Cola, not to deliver the Nevuah to somebody else. So then, Who's going to catch the Navi that he's a Navi HaShekir? It's only when the Navi delivers the Nevuah to another person other than himself, then the Gemara and the Rambam have this klal, and the Nevuah L'Toyva HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never reverse it, because otherwise how can you test the Navi to see if he's a Navi? But if the Nevuah was for him, he's not. There's no shot. He knows that he got a Nevuah. And then later on he buys the Pepsi Cola, and then he becomes a Russia, the Navi becomes a Russia, and he violates all the Yaberis. But then the Pepsi Cola can go out of business. What happened with the Haftalka? The Haftalka was on the understanding that he's going to be a Tzadik. So that's why Yankel Avinu got the Nevuah directly from the Rabbanu Shlomo. He was told directly by Kodesh Baruch. So he was petrified, he was very concerned. Shema Yigram Hachet. The Mefarshim Achumish add on a little more based on the Gemara in the end of Brachis. The Gemara has a story that one of the Amoraim who was in Eretz Yisrael saw one of the Talmidim in Yeshiva who was very nervous. He was petrified about a certain situation, so he said he must be a sinner because the Pasuk says Pachad Betzion Chatoim. In Eretz Yisrael the only people who are afraid are those who are sinning, those who are not sinning are not afraid. So the Talmud asks him, what do you mean? But there's another passage that says Ashrei Yodah Mefachet Tamid. It's the praises of a person who's always nervous, he's always afraid, but he doesn't have such bitachon that everything is going to go okay. But the Rebbe said, no, that passage that says that it's the praises of a person that he's always nervous, because he's nervous, did he do the mitzvahs properly, did he learn enough today, he's concerned about his level of Yerush HaMayim. But if he's afraid about war, he's afraid that they're going to drop an atom bomb or something like that, afraid about other things, he's not afraid about his own level of Yerush HaMayim, he's afraid about external sakonis. So that's what the Chacham told his Talmud, Chato'at, he must be a sinner, because otherwise he wouldn't be afraid. So that's what the Mefarshim HaSam and the Mefarshim HaKumish say. Vayira Yaakov Miyod Vayetzalo, Yaakov was afraid. He wasn't worried about his level of Yerushalayim, Mishmiras, and Mitzvahs. He was afraid of Esav. Why was he afraid of Esav? Obviously, he was a sinner. He knew that he did a sin. He did a major sin. The Rabbanu Shalom had promised, he had taken a neder that he's going to make when he left Eretz Yisrael, beginning of Parshas Vayetzei. He promised he's going to give my success. Then he promises he's going to. He's going to make a Beis HaMikdash. Possibly killing him, so he realized that he really sinned, this lachlachti bechet, and therefore he's afraid. Maybe the haftocha will not be fulfilled. Maybe Shema Yigramachet, the haftocha should no longer apply, because it wasn't the nevuah that was delivered to him by some other navi. He had the nevuah directly. In the first perek in Sota has a sugya about geizel, a terrible geizel, the whole sugya about geizel. The Gemara has a machlokes amarayim whether a Talmud Chacham is forbidden to have any geizel, or the out of kavod ha'terek should have a little bit of geizel. So one opinion in Gemara is that he should have a little bit, should have shminish abishminish in order to enhance the kavod ha'terek. So the Bell talks about that. What is the significance of the Shminish of Shminish? So some say an eighth of an eighth, if you multiply eight times eight is 64, so it's 164, that means it's going to be bottle b'shish. It's going to be bottle b'shish. You should have a little guy, but it should be bottle b'shish. It should not be noticeable. And they quote in the name of the Romney Grind that Shminish of Shminish means is referring to the eighth pasuk and the eighth cedra. You can't from the beginning, Bereishis Nach Lechlecha Vayera, Chayisera told us, Vayetzir Vayishlach, and the eighth pasuk is pasuk Yud Aleph. That begins with Pasuk Dalet. The chapters were divided by the Christians. So they have chapter Lamed Beis begins the last three Pesukim in Parshas Vayetzei. The Jews would never make such a Kakai chapter breakdown. So Parshas Vayishlach begins with Pasuk Dalet. So the eighth Pasuk is Pasuk Yud Aleph. So So that's what they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. That's the Shmidah Shevishminis. Kontomti mikol ha'asarim mikol ha'em. Some of them should have that. That's clearly not the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. The Pashup Shat in the Gemara is that opinion in the Gemara holds that Talmud Chacham should have a little bit of gaiva, but he should have it under control. Not that it should be buckled to shishin. He should have a little bit of gaiva, but he should hold it under control in order that he should command respect, that he should not cover that term. Anyway, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that he should not. The Gemara's maskan is that lo minov la miktosam. But even the Talmud Chacham should not have the Shmini Shemishmini. Very big problem. The Rambam comments on the Mishnah in Ovid that says, "Rabbi Levitus Yishiavna Oimer Miod Miod Hevi Shval Ruach." So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah and Pirkei Avos writes, "Why does he say Miod Miod?" He explains in all the other Midas, the klal is you have to go the Derech HaMamutza. You have to go in the middle of the road, not to the extreme, not to one extreme, not to the other extreme. The Rambam claims that that's the pshat. He has midrashim like that. That's the pshat in the pasuk that says, "By Avram Avinu, he died from Anashen Tavis Bono is based on Lalechetz b'derech Hashem." He said that's what it means, derech Hashem. He quotes midrashim. Derech Hashem means to go in the middle of the road, not to be an extremist, a centrist. So the Rambam says, but the Mishnah says there's an exception to the rule. Miod miod hevishal ruach. That's exeder the rabbanon. That if you'll allow people to follow the din deraisa of going the Derech HaMamutza, everybody will fall in. Because they won't be able to gauge what the Derech HaMamutza is. Everybody will be a little too much of a Balgaiva. So that's what Rabbi Levitus says in the Mishnah. You have to go to the extreme and the other direction, the old New York. And it still doesn't help. People read the Rambam and they hear this and they still think that they've gone to the extreme of humility. They're very far from being in the center. That's a big problem. How does one know where the center is? That's a big problem in all of the Midas, that the Rambam says you should go b'derech HaMamutza, you shouldn't be an extremist. You shouldn't be an extremist. There's Orthodox, conservative, and Reform. So Reform is extreme. Orthodox is extreme. So be conservative. Or if you'll begin to say there's Reconstructionists and there's conservatives. Reconstructionists are extreme, the conservatives are extreme. So go b'derech HaMamutza, be Reform. Who are you too extreme? Is in order to know what your Mamutza is. That's always a problem. That's what the Tovna Rav gave once at Russia in Europe on Taras HaMishpacha. Must be given a drasha for 5 hours. So he printed his drasha later in Yiddish, and it's a whole booklet. It's over 100 pages in Yiddish, and the footnotes are in Hebrew. So towards the end of the book, I think they have it in the library. Somebody, Zahra, showed me they have it in the library. So towards the end of the book, he has a long footnote on this topic. You're going to go b'derech HaMamutza. So b'derech HaMamutza, you got to know what the two extremes are in order to know what's in the middle. So if people can keep on changing the extremes, they come up with the wrong psak to what the b'derech HaMamutza is. Everybody thinks that they're going. Everybody who accuses everybody else of being an extremist is implying that he's the centrist. That he's going b'derech HaMamutza. A lot of times, the people who claim to be in the center are the extremists. Taking the wrong extremes and making a sure between them. The Pasuk Chav Beis is a famous strange Rashi. Atavra HaMincha Al-Tonav, he prepared a matana for his brother Esau. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash that when Am Yisrael comes to negotiate with the Umas Olam, you have to prepare yourself L'doron V'L'Tfilo Ula Melchama. You have to first give the Shoichad, and then you have to be mispalo. You can't just rely on the goodwill of Esau. Goodwill is not going to be there. Rashi says over here, Vayisha Kehu, when he meets Esau, so Esau kisses him. Rashi quotes one time from the Medrash, Esau had a bad day. He wasn't acting his normal self. Normally Esau is a saint of the Yankee. You can't just rely on the goodwill of Esau. There are many Jews who do rely on the goodwill of Esav. They don't know the ABC of psychology. The Torah tells us what the psychology is. Halacha b'yadush, Esav sena liyankas. So you have to, the way to get around Esav is to give them matana, and you have to be mispalo. If the person's not mispalo, he doesn't stand a chance of getting anywhere, and he has to prepare himself for mechamen as well. Those are the three things. So the pasuk Chabay says, "Vatav amin chalpan v'holam balay lahu b'machana." He prepared this whole gift for his brother Esav. So Rashi comments on the word alpanov. Afu shor bikasho hitzarach l'cholzeh. He was also very angry. He was in a very miserable mood. Why he had to go through all of this? What does that mean? He was also angry. Afu shor bikasho hitzarach l'cholzeh. He was also angry. He, in addition to whom else? Who else was angry? Esav was angry. What was Esav angry?
Still
angry. I mean, Esav was angry from years ago about another thing. Esav was angry about his thing. And now Yaakov is also angry. Yeah, but they're angry about two different things. Esav is angry at his brother. He hates him. Why he stole the brachas from him. And now Yaakov is angry. Why he has to go through this? So that's Rashi's expression. He quotes from Bereshit Rabba. He was also angry. So the Bartanura in his commentary on Rashi says you have to put a period over here. It says Vatava Mincha Alpanov. In the Chumash, when you want to say that somebody got angry, so they say V'chora Af Hashem, Charonaf. Charonaf means that the nose gets all red. When a person gets angry, so you can tell. But sometimes you can tell by the nose that his nose turns red. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't have a nose, so it's just a melitza. The Chara HaShem is a melitza. But by a human being, sometimes you can't tell by the nose that the fellow is angry. So that's what Rashi, the Bartanura says, that's what Rashi means to say. Vatava mincha al panov, Rashi writes, Loshen Af. It's a Loshen Af. Afu, period. Shori b'kasa, or shori tzarech l'cholzeh. You shouldn't read the Rashi. He was also angry. Afu. Not that the word af means also. Gamhu. Gam who, in addition to who else? So the Bartanura says it doesn't mean that. It means al panav afu, means a nose. Panav means a nose, means anger. That he was shori because Yaakov Avinu was angry. It has nothing to do with anybody else being angry. On the pasuk, by a yovik ish imo, the Gemara in Chulin. And Pergid Anosha, the Gemara has Agarta about this story as well. So the Gemara says, by Yayovik, Rashi quotes also Loshan Ovok, Ofer, Dust, that they were fighting with each other and they were wrestling with each other. So the Ovok, the dust, we have paved streets, so there's never any dust. But if you have a dirt street, so people are going to fight in the street, so the dust is going to make a big cloud. So the Gemara has an expression that Helu Ovok Ad Kisei HaKovoy. That the dust that they kicked up from the ground at that time reached all the way to the Kisei HaKovod. What is the significance of reaching to the Kisei HaKovod? What is that supposed to mean? So Shlomo Levilna has in the beginning of his Sefer Binyan Shlomo. This is the Binyan Shlomo. That's our wife's farm sale. If you can find. Shlomo Levilna was one of the Dayanim in Vilna when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. I think I mentioned in Shia, his grandson used to be a Rebbe here in Yeshiva, Rabbi Markelis, many years ago, when I was a Talmud in high school. His grandson had no children, he used to live in the neighborhood, so he said that his grandfather of Shlomo Levilna corrected the Vilna Shas from memory when they set the type. So he knew Balpeh, he knew the Gemara Balpeh. So he corrected, he didn't look back to another Gemara. That's why there are sometimes mistakes in the Vilna Shas that don't appear in other Masechtos, because he corrected it from memory. So he said what he thought it was supposed to say. And once in a long while, you're going to have a mistake that only a Litvak can make, a stone with a samach and a shin. Mm-hmm. And no Galatiana would ever make a mistake like that, because he made a mistake, he thought that it had the correct stone. Anyway, so this Rav Shlomo Levilna was a genius, a super genius. And he writes about his brother, Rabbi Tzal Vilna, he was a genius in the family. So they're both two big geniuses. And this sefer, he quotes a lot from Rabbi Tzal Vilna, he has a lot on his own. And the first 20 pages in the sefer is all on Chumash. And the rest is all on the Rachaim and on Yeridah. So on Parshas Vayishlach, he has a long essay. He wants to know what's the significance of the phrase that you're not allowed to eat Ginan Asha Ara Yom Hazeh. What is that? Tavshin Nun Vav. When is Ara Yom Hazeh? So he suggests Arayay Mazem means Arayay Mahu until Bias HaMashiach. After Mashiach comes, maybe you are allowed to eat Giranos. That's a wild notion. The Pashtus is that he's 100% wrong. I'll be Pashtus. But there was he wasn't the originator of this notion. We know that historically, Shabtai Tzvi, who claimed to be Mashiach, ate Giranoshim. He said, I'm here already, so we can eat Giranoshim. So obviously there was such a concept in Kabbalah writings. He quotes a little from Kabbalah, but this, the punchline, he doesn't quote from Kabbalah sources, but there was such a concept. The Giranoshim, I think I'll be Pashtus, it's wrong. I mean, the Rambam says it is wrong. The Rambam lists off all the Taryag mitzvahs. And he says all the mitzvahs are noyeg li'oinavoyt. Everything is going to be noyeg l'moyes ha-mashiach. If you have a mitzvah that's not noyeg l'moyes ha-mashiach, we call it a hayroa shor. That's what we said. One of the terutzim the Rav Chaim gave, why the Rambam did slach in the minchaschina habadah with the kash, why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of zechiras yitzias mitzrayim every day. Why doesn't the Rambam count that mitzvah in the minyan ha-mitzvah? So Rav Chaim suggested it to us, because we paskin that the moyeg ha-mashiach will not be noyeg. And we paskin it's not marbel l'mos hamashiach. So mitzvah that's not noeg l'mos hamashiach doesn't qualify to be counted as a mitzvah. It's only noeg as a hirasho. It's only noeg for a few thousand years. It's not noeg l'olam v'olam. So according to the Rambam, according to the Rav Chaim said pshat in the Rambam, obviously this is not correct. But the others don't agree. The others don't agree. So that's what he has such an idea. So he quotes. This passage in the Gemara in Chulin and Perek Giranosha, Yayovik Yishimo, Helu Ava Gat Kisei HaKoven means that at that time it became Eina Kisei Sholem. Rashi on Parshas Bishalach quotes from the Mechilta and from the Gemara on the Pasuk Yor Al Kis Ko, Mocham Lashem Ba'amolik Midor Do. Why does it say Kis Ko? Why doesn't it say Kisei? Kof Samachal, why does it say Yudke Vavke? Why does it say Ko? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Psochim, and other sources, quite a few midrashim. Ein Hashem Sholem, Ein Akisa Sholem. The Yudke Vavke name will only be completely Mos HaMashiach. Then we're going to be pronouncing Yudke Vavke. And the Kisei is also not Sholem. The throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the ruler of the whole world, but it looks as if he's not fully in control. It looks as if the Baruch Hashem is not fully in control. How does he let all the after courses go wild? How does he let all the after deserve? It looks as if he doesn't have the power to do anything about it. We believe that it's not true. We are faced with a big problem. If we believe there's only one God who is all powerful and all knowing, and he controls everything, he has the ability to change things. So how does he let all these shenanigans go on? How does he allow Tzadik V'Ra'ala, Rosh HaVetol? How does he allow all the Abba Dizora? And all the Apikursis? Why doesn't he put his foot down? Sashtar Kikasha. So that's called Ein Akisei Shalom. It appears to us as if our perception is a mistaken one. It appears as if the Ribbono Shel Olam has an incomplete throne. As if the Kisei is not Sholem. When will the Kisei be Sholem? When Amalek will be wiped out. So when did this problem begin? When did the Kisei begin to be built to Sholem? So you get the impression on Kiyar Al-Kes Kol, Kol's man that Amalek is around. It began with Mechemes Amalek. So that's what the Rebbe Tzalal, Rebbe Shlomo Ladulner writes, and others write the same. As well, I think Rabbi Hutna has long drushes on this also based on Kabbalah and his drushes and Pachad Yitzchak, also the same thing, that all of this began, Amalek was a descendant from Esav, all of the trouble began from the fight with the Sarah Shalaitah in Parshas Vayishlah. Vayyovik Yishimo, Helu Ovok, Ad Kisei HaKovoy, the Ovok of that fight, so this was a case of Tzadik Viralo, that Yaakov Avinu won the fight, but the Malach broke his leg. So that's already the beginning of Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh HaVetolah. It looks already now as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not fully in control of the world. So from this time there was already Helu Avok, and we're not allowed to eat Giranoshe, representative of this notion that temporarily it looks as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in full control of the world. But the Mos HaMashiach, when he will be fully in control, then we won't have to abstain from eating Giranoshe. The Ribbono Shel Olam will be clearly in control of everything. That's the suggestion that they made. That's why Shabtai Tzvi ate the Giranosh. He wanted to demonstrate that he holds his Moshiach, so he ate Giranosh. That was the demonstration. Then he goes into Akasha. He has a Shlomo Levin effect Akasha. If so, Giranosh should be a Dovish Eishlo Matir. So So what does the Gemara say? That a Gidan Asher gets mixed in with other Gidim, that a Mutter, it's not bottled because it's a burial. Let the Gemara say that it's a Dovah Sheish Lamatirin. Dovah Sheish Lamatirin is also not bottled. So what do they have to give the reason of burial? Where did he get such an Einfall? It wasn't his original Einfall. It should be Dovah Sheish Lamatirin. He quotes it from the Orza, the Hagos HaShri has like that. Whatever is also because of the Nibai Dolev Shito HaTeku, so maybe when Mashiach will come, maybe when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, will say that it's Mutter. So some Rishainim, Hagos HaShri quotes from the Orza Rav like that. Some Rishainim say that whenever something is also because of the Teku and the Gemara, so if it gets mixed in with the Trefis, it can't be bottled because of Dov Shesh Matim. Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come and pass him that it's Mutter. So why should you rely on Bittul Berov today? Wait till Eliyahu HaNavi will come, he may say that it's Mutter. Maybe a Dov Shesh Matim. So that's what he asks over here. So he comes. So on the assumption that all the premises are correct, I mean, you can the Pashtus is the major premise is not correct. The Pashtus is that Gidan Asher is going to be also even after Mashiach comes. Alpi Pashtus. Not like Shabsai Tzvi. Shabsai Tzvi is an apokalypse. Not like Shabsai Tzvi. Not like Rav Shlomo Levum. Alpi Pashtus. Rabbi Pashti can answer the kasha of Dovah Sheish Matirin also. Dovah Sheish Matirin is only not buckled if I know for sure that this thing is going to become mutter. It may take a long time till Mashiach comes. We don't know when Mashiach has come. It may come today. It may come in another 1,000 years. If he's going to come in another 1,000 years, so this Gidan Asher is going to get rotten by the time he comes. So that's called Dovah Sheish Matirin. It's only called Dovah Sheish Matirin if it's Vadai, Shaheter Asid Lavoi. And within a reasonable amount of time that the food will not become miskalta. But if the food may become miskalta, so it might be Dovah Sheish Matirin. So the whole kasha doesn't really get off the ground. But that's what he asked that kasha. So in order to answer the kasha, he comes up with a chiddush or gadol chiddush. He says, his claim that when Mashiach comes, Gidan Asher will be mutter is only the Gidan Ashers of the animals that will be geshachten after Mashiach arrives. The Gidan Ashers from Tavshin Nunvav will remain awesome. If we'll put them in the freezer, and then Mashiach comes tomorrow, so today's Gidan Asher will be also tomorrow. Tomorrow's Gidan Asher will be Mutter. Whee! So he goes into a whole, does that make sense? Today's Gidan Asher will be also, and tomorrow's Gidan Asher will be Mutter. Does that make sense? But he says this depends on the Gemara in the first parak in Chulin, about Avery Besar Nechirashif, Nisi Solo Aris. So he says, now as far as the Rosh is Kasha there, the Rosh Rekha Kasha in the Gemara, what did the Gemara ask? Ashaila, but Avery Besar Nechir, Maida Hava Hava. So he says, no, enough to mean if a Gidan Asher. No. He's a genius. Shlomo Levilna was clearly a genius. He has a lot of times a very sharp to pull him. This. I would assume that this is Lechadude. This whole piece is Lechadude. Quite a few Rishonim quote our Medrash. That Esav really wouldn't have had any koyach at all. It's because Yaakov Avinu keeps on referring to him with such derech eretz, Adoni Esav 8 times. The Medrash adds up. He refers to him Adoni Esav 8 times. That's why the parasha concludes with the Eilam Malach B'Shemalcha B'Yedem, that there were 8 kings, Lefnei Malach Melech Levnei Yisrael. And what schus did Edom, did the descendants of Esav, what schus did they have 8 kings? Because Yaakov Avinu referred to him as Adoni Esav 8 times. If he would have ignored him, that's what the Medrash Rabbah says at the beginning of Vayishlach. Why did he start up? He should have forget about Esav. Ignore him. Just go back to Eretz Yisrael and take over the land. What do you have to worry about the other people, what they have to say? So the Medrash says that he did wrong. He shouldn't have been Niskak to Esav at all, and he shouldn't have been Nichnat to Esav, and he shouldn't have bowed down. He bows down 7 times, and he calls him Adoni Esav 8 times. So the Medrash says that that's why Bnei Yisrael suffered, that the Edomim had 8 malachim. It was like the PLO when they started when you read in the newspaper, when they started this whole thing that's called the peace process. So at that time the PLO said that they were bankrupt, that there's nothing, and they're going to have to restructure and begin, and all the nations of the world should give them millions and billions of dollars a time. If they're bankrupt, so forget about the PLO. So they said there's no problem. So if the PLO has no money and they're bankrupt and no one is funding them, and the Russia collapsed already. Russia used to always harass Medina Sissot. So Russia collapsed, and then all the other countries, and Iran was tired of fighting their war for so long, so what's the problem? No, we have to call them Adoni Esav. We have to say, oh, Arafat, the PLO, you have to give them Chizuk. So we gave them Chizuk, and now they're strong. That's history repeating itself. That's what we mentioned. The Rishonim called a Medrash, and last week said that the name Esav, the Gematria, is Shalom. Ayin Shin Yud Vav is the same gematria as Shin Lamed Vav. There's Shalom. The Medrash has a famous comment on the pasuk. Vayikan es chelkes hasada, right before Chamishi, that Yaakov Avinu buys a plot of land in Shechem. That's where Kever Yosef is going to be years later. That's where Kever Yosef is. So the Medrash says the Ummah Sayyidim have complaints against the Jewish people that we're not entitled to Eretz Yisrael. What is our claim that we are entitled to Eretz Yisrael? God gave us Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shlom, that's a Rashi quotes, the first Rashi on Chumash. The Rebbeinu Shlom created the world, and he has a right to give Eretz Yisrael to whomever he wanted. He gave us Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. So the Goyim don't believe in that. They say that we're Gazlonim. But the Medrash says there are three spots in Eretz Yisrael that for sure belong to us. But nothing, the Goyim can't have any tainus. One is Shechem, that for sure belongs to the Jews. It says that Yaakov Avinu paid for it. One is the Maros HaMachpelah, that for sure belongs to the Jews. It says Avraham Avinu paid for it. And the other one is Yerushalayim. It says that David HaMelech paid the money to Arab Nehemus. It says, Dir Atika and Shechem and Hebron, that for sure belongs to the Jews. No. As they state the Medrash. That's also on the Pasuk. The names and the end of the Sedra are very complicated. Dishon and Dishon. Seven times, which one has the Vav, which one doesn't have the Vav. The Rishonim have all kinds of Siman in here. There are problems, there are a lot of problems there. Timna was a man, and Timna was a woman. It's a big problem. It says, Vachos Loton Timna. So Timna was a woman. And there's another pasuk that sounds like Timna was a man. So that's what the Rishonim say on Perek Lamed Vav pasuk Yedaleh. That in the next part because Visinah Hoysopi Lagish Lalif Basinah was a woman. But there's another pasuk in the Rayonim, I think, that says that Timna was a son of Alifans. So the Rishonim write that sometimes in Tanakh you have a lot of Mishonim like that. Very strange thing. You have a word written in a pasuk in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, in all three. You have a word written, and you're supposed to interpret it as if the word were written twice. So here, a group of Rishonim say, "Vayu bnei Alifas teiman oimak svoi begatam aknaz soi pasuk v'simna," was also a son of Alifas. And then v'simna, a female person, hoisapi legish, there was another. There was a woman by the name of them. There was a man and there was a woman. Who was the one Hashem Matzah as Hayemim? Where is that part? Also Shver at Pasuk. In Pasuk Chav Dalet, in Lamed Vav Pasuk, Eile b'nei Tzivon v'yayor v'ano, Hu ano Hashem Matzah as Hayemim b'amid bar b'ira oso as hachamorim l'tzivon oviv. It sounds like ano was a man. No, Hu ano Hashem Matzah as Hayemim b'ira oso l'oviv. Sounds like he was a man. Pasuk before says it was a woman. It says Bas Ano, Bas Tzivon. So why does it say Bas if he was a man? There were two people. One was a man, one was a woman. Very shver. So some Rishonim say, no, it was a woman. Bas Ano, Bas Tzivon. The Pasuk before says it was a woman. Here, Pasuk base. Esav lokach es nashav v'nois kenon. Esodah Bas Ilon hachiti v'esoch libama. Bas Ano, Bas Tzivon hachivi. Alivama was a woman, Bas Ano, the daughter of Ano, the daughter of Tzivon. She was a woman, Ano. So how come it says over here, Vumatzon? So some of the Rishonim say, no, Ano was a woman. Why is it written, Beloshen Zachar, Pasuk Chavdala, Hu Ano Shemotzes Hayemim? Because this woman got the Yerusha from her father. Usually when they're sons and daughters, so the sons get, the daughters don't get. But in a case like B'nai Slavcha, where there are no sons, then the daughters get the Yerusha. Here it says, Ve'ela b'nei Tzivon v'ayor v'ano. Tzivon had two children, had a son and he had a daughter. Ayor was the son and Ano was the daughter, as it says. Bas Tzivon was the daughter. But then apparently the son died. So the son died, so the B'nai Slavcha gets, so the daughters get the Yerusha. So the daughter got the Yerusha, so usually the sons get the Yerusha, so we talk of her as if she were a man. So that's why we say Hu Ano Hashem Matzah. So I really should say Hi Ano Hashem Matzah Birosah Liaviho. It should all be in a keva, but we write up her as if she were a man because she got the Yerusha. That's what some Rishon, the Cheskuni, writes like that. When the Cheskuni writes it, Biyadua, that half of the Balei HaTosfos say like that. You check all of the Rishonim, they all chew the same tobacco. They all say the same. They must be quoting Midrashim or something. All these wild ideas that they have on Bereishis, they all have traditions from some old Midrashim. If they quote such a thing like that from the Vilna Gaon, such a strange comment that says, Manishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol Halaylos. Why do you say Halayla Hazeh? Halayla ends off with commentation. Shri Halayla Hazos. Zafani Kasha. The Veld doesn't understand the Kasha. The word Laila is Lashon Zohar. Usually Kometzei is in a cave. Once in a while Kometzei is a Zohar. So the word Laila is always Lashon Zohar. But that's what they called. The Vilna Gaon supposedly asked that Kasha. So he gave the Teretz that since women are Mechuyev and Matzah Leil Pesach, even though it's a mitzvah Seser Shazman Groma, you see that we're treating the Kegel like a Zohar, but that's why we call it Halayla Hazeh. Sounds wild. Is that the same as the Rishonim said over here? The Pasuk refers to a woman as a man because she got a Yerusha, which is usually only reserved for men. As they say, Rishonim have a lot of strange things on the names here.
Is that the same reason why
I mentioned Zohar? Are they mentioned B'Lashon Zohar? In the Chumash? Yeah? I don't know. Gotta look, could be the Rishonim have it there too. Bas Meizahov at the end of the Sedrit. One of the people was named Bas Meizahov. Who's Meizahov? Mahu Zahov. What is gold? Asher Hayah. He was such a wealthy person. Meizahov Kosh Bein of Leklum. So that's why the father's name was Meizahov, means Mazahov. What is gold? What is gold? He used to call the father, what is gold? He was so wealthy, gold didn't mean anything. There's such a pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech, no? It says that Shlomo HaMelech was so wealthy that, how does it say? Bimei Shlomo. The kesef was nachshav l'meuma. The kesef was worthless. I forgot already that pasuk. A pasuk like that in Malacha. The Marshal quotes that pasuk in connection with Rashi. Rashi's name is Rashlemi Yitzchak. There's a machlekes of Yechonah Meshlokish in the Gemara Bav Metzia, where the Dvartara Mois Kainis Anat. So, Yechonah holds that Dvartara Mois Kainis, so Meshlokish says no. And Rashi, strange, of all Rashi pasuk is like Meshlokish. Tosis says all over Shas, Rashi passed Tosis in Kiddushin, and Tosis in Chorus, and Tosis in Bobim Tzir. Rashi seems to pass on like Rish Lokish, that Vatara Meshicha kind of, because Rava says, Kro Masnita Messiah Leila Rish Lokish. So the Masha, and Tosis disagrees with Rashi. Tosis says, no, we always pass on like Rabbi Yechanan, except for three cases. This is not one of the three exceptions to the rule, so the din should be like Rabbi Yechanan. So the Mashal and the Yamsha Shlom, I think, has that Malik. He says, Rashi is Shlom, right? It's a bimei shlam and kesef nechshav l'mumah. The money is not kind of anything. It's like this Rashi says that mei zahav, mash zahav, it all didn't mean anything. Other Rishonim say differently, that mei zahav means that if this he lived on a river where they used to find gold in the water of the river, that's why it's called mei zahav, the waters of gold. But Rashi does not say that. Rashi says mei zahav is mash zahav. The Prima Gordim has a comment on the pasuk in the Haftarah. Mechamas achicha yankif techascha busha. How does it say? Mechamas achicha yankif techascha busha. The Esav should be embarrassed for robbing his brother Yaakov. What did he rob from his brother Yankif? The Prima Gordon interprets that the pasuk is referring to the fact that Esav sent his son Alifas. Rashi quotes the Mesh. Esav sent his son Alifas to kill Yaakov, and then he didn't kill him. Yaakov told him, "Only Choshu Kimeis, take away all of my money, and it'll be considered as if I'm dead." So he did that, and that's the way he felt that he had fulfilled Kibbutz by taking away his money. So the Prima Gordon writes a Chiddush that since Esav was the one who was responsible for Eliphaz robbing all the money from Yaakov, that was in order to fulfill the supposed Kibbutz of killing Yaakov, "Only Choshu Kimeis," and by Bnei Noach, he don't say "Ein Shalich Advarer." Klal in the Gemara, "Ein Shalich Advarer" is only by Israel. But Bnei Noach it doesn't apply. So the Pasuk says in the Haftarah that Esav is going to be held responsible for the chomos, for the robbery of that Alipas took all the money away from Yaakov. That's an interesting chiddush. Is that so? The angel of Rabbeinu doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. A great chiddush. No, very shvera parsha. Okay.